I think it's important for us all to desire to do what God tells us to do, and we need to be quick to listen. I had the opportunity a few years ago, I don't know if you remember Evelyn Griman. Well, Keith and Connie moved away and they needed somebody to kind of check in on her. And so I jumped at the chance, and I mean, it's sad that I had to be asked, but I'm grateful that Doreen asked me, because it started in something in me that I think was already going on and I wasn't even aware of it. Anyway, so I made a point of going to visit Evelyn, and it was so special. I'm forever changed by the time I spent with her. I mean, think about a lady, 106 years old, and she has such a passion for the kingdom that she said the Lord, she wasn't ready for the Lord to take her home yet because God would remind her of somebody she needed a witness to. We all need to be like that. But anyway, so, you know, we all have something we can give. And in Evelyn's case, it was time. You know, she just needs somebody to visit. And first I'd go visit her and she'd fall asleep. So I thought, this isn't working. So then I started bringing games. And so it gave her something to look forward. It kept her mind sharp. You know, she lived to be 107 and 2 days old. And I mean, her funeral, I've never been so inspired. Well, Sheila's dad was pretty, his funeral was pretty inspiring too, but Evelyn's was awesome. But anyway, so we all have something that we can give. It may not cost us anything, you know, seeing a stranger giving a smile. I had this guy that used, when I worked for Mercy, that he was an irritant to everybody, and every year on his birthday, I'd make him a blackberry pie, because it was his favorite. And I had to hide it from my boss, because she'd get mad at me if I did anything nice to him, so I have to sneak him into the hall and give him his pie. Anyway, so I think back to Wally and, you know, boot camp. He obviously inspired me too, that how important it is to do what God says, when God says, how God says. And the part that the Lord added for me was to listen. So, you know, we all have the ability to be Jesus with skin on, you know, and good or bad. So, you know, it's very important to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. People all need to be valued and seen. I think about, I've been quoting 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and this is how love acts. I endure long and am patient and kind. I'm never envious, nor do I boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I'm not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. I'm not rude. I do not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in me does not insist on its own right in its own way. I'm not self-seeking. I'm not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of evil done to me. I pay no attention to suffered wrong. I do not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but I rejoice that right and truth prevail. And God's love in me bears up under anything and everything that comes. I am ever ready to believe the best in every person. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Therefore, love never fails. Therefore, when I will never fail when I walk in love. Amen. And so I try to emulate that. Granted, I'm human, so there are occasions when I kind of slip. But God is gracious. We repent. He forgives us our sins and cleanses us. Okay. Let's see, where am I at? I jumped ahead. Anyway, just by being with Jesus with skin on, I've had so many opportunities to go and visit and minister to people. The very first day that I went to see Evelyn, I reacquainted with the gal that I'd known for years, and she'd been in Oakwood for 5 years because she'd had a bout of MS that took her down, and she got to go home recently. But anyway, after Evelyn died, all of Evelyn's games went to Ellen. I took Evelyn's spot, and I met with Ellen every day. Now she's out of the nursing home, so I go visit her home. And it's really good for her to have conversation. We play games. I had to learn how to play cribbage, but that's not a bad thing. Anyway, and she just has a place, safe place to vent. I take her to appointments. We go shopping. And she's slowly getting her life back. I mean, I can't even imagine Tom living in our house for 5 years and then me come home and try and put it all back together. Oh, it'd probably be better than what I've been doing, but anyway. So anyway, and I mean, there's so many different people that God has impacted me with just by being Jesus with skin on. Like last Sunday, we went to Vallarta's, and there's this guy that was a waiter, and they wouldn't believe all the people. We've developed relationship with Cancun, and they've moved on, and they come back, and we see him. And anyway, this guy, I'm practicing my junior high Spanish with him, and it was just fun. Because the guy, I never really liked him before, but he had a good time interacting with me. So you never know when it's going to come back to you, and you're going to get back what, you know, what you sow. Okay, so I'm way off now. Where am I at? Okay. Anyway, so as a result of, you know, just obeying and doing, you know, what Doreen asked me to do, I mean, this has morphed into there's all kinds of people that I go and spend time with, my One Vision buddies that I used to care for. I don't want them to be forgotten, and so I still go visit them once a week. I've got somebody else that's got cancer, and I go visit him. And again, it's all around game, so basically it doesn't cost me much, just a little time and maybe a little gas. And so I kind of want to finish up with a scripture in Acts 3:6. This is right after the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples after Jesus had ascended. Peter and John, they're going to the temple for the 3 p.m. prayer. And as they come to the entrance of the gate, beautiful, they saw a crippled man. This guy had been crippled from birth. And he was expecting a monetary gift when they, you know, he got their attention. And Peter looked at him and says, "I don't have any silver or gold." And the Message Bible said he didn't even have a nickel. That was interesting. "I don't have silver and gold for you, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." You know, I mean, Tom and I, we've gone to stores before, and I remember hearing this guy falling down this flight of stairs, and he was in a lot of pain, and we were hearing him tell somebody about it, so we went right over and prayed with him. What did it cost us? He was blessed. He gave encouragement to know that somebody else cared that he was hurting. And, you know, this guy at the gate, beautiful, he ended up getting up and walking. So Doreen asked me, you know, if I would share the gift of my time with Evelyn. So I'd like to encourage you all to find a way to find some time. I mean, this time of year you see it all over the place, but we need to continue on this in January and beyond, to just be Jesus with skin on. You know, maybe give somebody a smile, conversation, a compliment. And then, you know, I met the coolest lady at Dollar Tree a few weeks ago. And, oh, my gosh, she's 88. And I got to witness or share with her. And then I listened. And, oh, my gosh, the life that lady had. And, you know, I just give glory to God for all these God connections, you know, just by being Jesus with skin on. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do, too. Obey, and if God shows you something, do it. Don't think about it, just do it.
All right, I am gonna do worship art real quick because these children are restless.
Restless children.
Anybody have worship art for me today? No. No worship art? No. At all. Gavin gave me a hug coupon, so that was nice of him. So, well, if you are a kiddo and you are potentially working on the Christmas Eve situation with Dawn, situation, festivities, weird words, go ahead and go with Dawn to the classroom. Yeah, right now she is. Does she want her children to leave? I don't know. She's having a struggle bus with that Yahoo over there, so that maybe she'd want them to get out of here. I was trying to help Crystal, actually. Crystal's like, get these kids out of here. I know. I was like, well, maybe Crystal would have appreciated if her children left the room. Oh, Marius does have worship art. This is a dinosaur?
A boat?
Yeah. There's a crack on the bottom of the boat? Oh, no. And what's going to happen to that boat if there's cracks in the bottom? It's going to sink, isn't it? A whale's going to blow it up? Oh, okay. Oh, and a baby whale. Okay. Well, you know, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, right? Yeah, got thrown over the boat. God saved him. He went to Nineveh. It was a good time. Sometimes God's got to throw you right in the belly of the whale. Whew. Nobody wants that. Just listen to what God tells you to do, okay? Or something rough might happen. Yeah, God can lift it up too. Yep. He'll send that whale to just blow you right up into the sky. There's dogs on there too? Oh my. Oh, okay. Well, you better go see Don at class. Oh, get out of here. Hey, Leliana. Is that your name? Who did your hair? Oh, nice. I like it. All right, what you got for me, ma'am? I thought that was a bunny. What's the bunny doing? It's a giant bunny. I would be afraid of that bunny. Do you have bunnies at your house? Chickens? For the bunnies? Ooh. And then they get big and strong? Oh, the bunny and we're best friends. I like it. And the rainbows all around, because God's promises, right? And your hair is rainbows too. It's just God's promise right there. Standing in front of me. All right, you better go practice. All right, I should stop sitting on my knees. All right, Crystal. Tammy, are you having surgery next week? Well, we should pray about that before we leave today. That's next. No, it's 2 weeks. Okay, never mind. It was a week ahead. My bad.
Okay, so I have a lot of Bible verses, but my favorite, first of all, is John 10:10, which says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have faith so you may have it and have it abundantly. And this scar on my neck is my survivor scar from COVID. I drove myself to the hospital. When I walked in, I waited in the emergency room for 45 minutes before being seen. They brought me in, and the nurse checked my pulse ox, and she said, "Oh dear, that can't be right." And she left the room, came back with a different pulse ox, checked it, said, "I don't think that's right." Put a nasal cannula on my face, jacked it up to 10, and 10 liters of oxygen, left the room, and came back with another pulse ox. And she says, "What's your name?" And I said, "Crystal Holman." She says, "Where do you live?" And I said, "Keister, Minnesota." And she says, "How did you get here?" And I said, "I drove." And she says, "Impossible." I said, "Why?" She said, "Your oxygen is 32. You're clinically brain dead. I don't know how you're talking to me." I said, "Well, God is a glorious worker and healer of things." And she says, "No, you're being admitted." And she says, you're probably going to have to be transferred out of here because I don't know what to do. I'm getting the doctor immediately," like, and left the room. And so I'm sitting here thinking, like, God, does heaven look like an emergency room? Because this lady's telling me I'm brain dead. And the doctor, like, storms in and, like, immediately, like, hooks up all these wires and, like, watches my heart and, you know, does all these things. And he's like, "Well, we're going to start some infusions or stuff, and we're going to, you know, you're going to be here for a couple of days." I'm like, "Okay." And they put me back in a room. They come in with this scary looking machine and they're like, "We're going to put this on you." And I'm like, "Okay, what is that? Have any of you guys seen Wreck-It Ralph breaks the internet and they put the leaf blower in his face and it's a little..." Okay, that is what a BiPAP essentially does. They try to put this thing on and I have trauma from other instances, but there's no way I'm letting you keep this thing that is only blowing air into my lungs. Like, you're going to explode my lungs. How does this work? And so I don't remember anything after that. I remember waking up about 2 weeks later in the hospital in ICU in Rochester, Minnesota, being told that I was life-flighted, which I've never taken a helicopter ride that I'm aware of. But apparently I had one then. So, I mean, great, fun, so wonderful, I can't even remember it. But as I was sitting there, this lady was talking to me about, you know, how her boyfriend was really abusive and she was 7 months pregnant and she left him. And she doesn't know what she's gonna do. The holidays are coming and she just doesn't know what to do. I couldn't talk. I was intubated at this point. Like, so I'm writing everything down on paper and we're having a conversation between me writing on paper and her talking. And she proceeded to tell me that, I don't know how you can believe in God. Like, how can you believe in God that took you away from your children, put you here in ICU, and we don't even know if you're gonna make it? And I was like, well, I believe that God will heal me. Like, I believe that I will be home for the holidays with my kids, which I was not home for the holidays because God had other things and worked. But she just was like, I just don't know. And we sat there, and between me writing and her talking, had a conversation till her shift was over at 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember this lady's name. I don't remember who she was. I ended up at some point dying. I was put on life support and they had to revive me twice. Needless to say, I did end up coming home. They told me I was gonna end up in a nursing home. I told them I would not, I was going home. So I went home January 2nd. My mom in that time got legal guardianship of me. She's a Democrat, that's all I'm gonna say. She demanded that I get the COVID shot before they released me from the hospital. They gave me the COVID shot. Now mind you, I had one blood clot in my armpit. I'd had a full CT scan and they only found one. Got the COVID shot and a week later I ended up back in the emergency room with pulmonary embolism in my lungs. But fast forward 2 years and I was with Tiberius, my son with the short hair. we were at Rochester Mayo because he's got epilepsy and he was having a full epilepsy workup. And this lady comes up to me and tells me that she, first of all, she's like, Crystal? And I'm like, yeah. Most embarrassing thing when people know you and you don't know them. She's like, you don't remember me, do you? And I'm like, not really. She's like, you prayed for my child before my child was born. And I was like, I did. She tells me this wonderful story of me that I only kind of vaguely remember bits and pieces. And then she said something to me, which was, God takes extraordinary people, or God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things through them. You told me that. And of course I'd tell her that because I tell everybody that, you know, like that's my thing. But anyway, she informs me that she, that day when she was done with her shift taking care of me in the ICU, she had every intention of ending her life and that of her unborn child. She said that she had never understood God's love until I spoke to her that day. And she left the hospital, she left ICU, and walked into a church. And she said, she walked in there and she fell down to her knees and she just sobbed uncontrollably. And she told me she wanted to thank me because if it was not for me talking to her that day, she and her child would not be here. And so, you know, I've struggled with my COVID story and I've struggled with why God made me so sick because I'm still very sick. I'm still dealing with a lot of things because of my COVID. I have long haul COVID that has affected a lot of things. In the last year, I've put on over 100 pounds because my lungs don't work like they should. So the activities that I'm used to doing, I'm not able to do. So it's still an ongoing battle and an ongoing struggle, but I tell myself every day that God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary works through them because that lady and her child are here to essentially like live on whatever seed I planted in her that day. So, I mean, I could go on because I have a lot, but I was told I had a 5-minute window. So that's about what I got for today.